A week ago tonight, at least in time, if not liturgically so, we were celebrating the Great Easter Vigil. And it was during the Great Easter Vigil that the Lord manifested himself. And this is, of course, shown by the fact that the acolytes rang the bells, lit the candles, and the lights of the whole church were lit in the glorious exaltation that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead on the night of Easter Vigil. We begin the Gospel of today on this Sunday, which our Lord has wished to be called Divine Mercy Sunday. And there are some people who still don't want to do it, but this is a command of the Lord to the Church and to St. Faustina Kowalska, that this Sunday, and of course we see the reading of the Gospel, it manifests, as well as the other readings, in particular the responsorial psalm, that this Sunday speaks mostly about the mercy of Christ. The mercy of Christ, who has come, has become one of us, has been tortured, has died on the cross, has been buried, and now has risen again. I was reading an article earlier on today that used some of this gospel for one of the things that some people do not understand. Now, the Blessed Mother, in some of her apparitions to the mystics of the church, mentioned the fact that she was the first one. A lot of people say St. Mary Magdalene. No. Why? But the Blessed Mother was the first one to see the Lord. And they use the ending of the pericope of St. John's Gospel that we have just read. He did many things. He performed many signs, many miracles in the presence of his disciples. And of course, who is the perfect disciple? Mary, most holy. He did many things that are not written in this book, in the Gospels. Our faith comes from two sources: sacred tradition, which is by mouth, and sacred scripture, which is in the book. And so he said this. He said, however, these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of God, which he was, as well as the Son of Mary Immaculate. And that through this belief, this faith, you may have life in his name. We cannot have life, we cannot even be baptized, not properly, validly, unless there is faith. In the case of those adults that are baptized as adults, it is because they have faith, a gift from God. In the case of babies, which is for the most of us, I was baptized on the day I was born because I was dying. And so, in the case of those who are baptized at birth, it is the faith of the parents and of the godparents that stand up for them that makes it possible to have baptism. And so here we have the first Sunday and the gift that he gives to them. Now, it is a custom for friends and family to give each other Easter gifts. The first Easter gift was from Christ himself. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Now, they would later on get the fullness of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But on Easter Sunday, a week ago, he gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit for one purpose: whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. The gift of the sacrament of penance, of confession, through which, after baptism, we can obtain remission of our sins. However, he says, and our Lord is very explicit, as I try to be too for you, who since you retain are retained. If you refuse to forgive them for whatever reason, and you shall be the judges under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, if you refuse to forgive them, they are not forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained. And of course, as confessors, as priests, bishops, some very, very seldom, but sometimes we have to tell somebody, you're not sorry for your sins. You have no intention of stopping your sinful ways. You do not show any signs that you truly forgive, that you are truly sorry. So go and come back when you are really sorry. Your sins will not be forgiven this time. Very seldom in the years of priesthood have I had to do that, but I have had to do it. And of course we have the continuation of this pericope of the gospel, which is St. Thomas, Didymus. St. Thomas, a lot of times I kid around, I say he must have been either Latin American or Filipino. He was always late. He was late for the Assumption of the Blessed Mother, too. He was always late. And so he wasn't there. Where he was, God alone knows. And he probably did. Maybe he was doing something that Jesus had told him to do. That's fine. We don't have to blame him. But he was always late. And so he arrives, and they tell him, we have seen the Lord. And then he makes the bold-faced remark, unless I stick my finger in his hands and stick my hand in his side, I will not believe. He has to see to believe. And there are some people like that. That is a very serious problem, spiritual problem. And of course, St. Thomas was forgiven by our Lord. So, on the evening of the first week, tomorrow night, our Lord Jesus appears again. And he goes right through the walls and through the doors. The risen body has powers that you cannot imagine. Yours will too if you die and go to heaven. Now, if you go to hell, and I hope you won't, you'll just burn like charcoal for all eternity. It will be most horrible. And also the psychological and mental pains that you will have. We cannot go into that now. But then our Lord appears. Now, he wasn't there when Thomas made his bold-faced remark. He says, okay, come over here. You know, you've made bold remarks. Come over here. Stick your finger in my hands. And stick your hand in my side. Which he showed to them again. And St. Thomas falls to the ground. And he says that which we also say today when we adore our Lord at the consecration of the Mass. The bread which becomes the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. And the chalice which becomes the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. The whole of Jesus is there in either of the two species. And what are we taught to do? At least we were, by the sisters and brothers when we were children, and we were learning so that we could make our first Holy Communion. We don't say it out loud, but we say it in our hearts. My Lord and my God! We make a profession of faith. My Lord and my God. You have come to believe, Thomas, because you have seen me. There are many who have not seen me, and yet they have believed. And of course, he's speaking about you and me. We have not seen him. At least most of us haven't. Some of us have. And yet, you have come to believe. Jesus is praising you for your faith, a gift from him. He says, and then he ends the gospel with that passage I mentioned already, which one of the authors and one of the mystics say has to do with the fact that Mary was the first to see her risen son. And why not? There is no one better, no one holier, no one immaculate who can see him but her. These are written that you may come to believe, O you faithful of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through this faith you may have life in his name forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.